Amen. You know, where God is, there is no room for sickness. There is no room for pain. So we're going to believe. If you have an expecting heart, come with expectation that God's going to touch some very specific areas today. You might go back, not you might, you most definitely can go back with a healing. And that could be physical, it could be emotional, it could even be spiritual. If someone's experienced pain, even spiritually, I believe there is healing today. So come drink of this living water. So we're going to pray for a moment and get ready, church. Get ready for the word. Get ready to hear the voice of God. Amen. Yeah? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where you have us in your presence. We are ready and we are open to your work, Lord. We worship you. We thank you for the ability, Lord, to come here today. As we sang, there are faithful that are gathered underground today. On this Sunday, there are faithful believers gathered underground, but we are here and we can boldly and openly and freely worship you. So we thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us and touch us and heal us and do as you will. We pray for the word and we pray that, Lord Jesus, that you will bless and anoint it, that as it reaches our hearts, that our hearts will be open to yield a harvest for you. Some may yield 30, 60, or even 100. But we want to be fruitful as we abide in you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So we're going to have Pastor Dave come up and share the word. And we welcome him, church.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Do you know what? God's already given me some visual aids for my sermon this morning, because there's building going on down the front. There's building going on down the front. And you think I might not have planned this. I'd already bought a box of Lego and asked some of our children to make something for me in Lego, because we're talking about building today. And God adds to that by bringing children at the front who are going to take part. So fantastic. Fantastic stuff. So, I'm talking this morning about building church, building community. My name's Dave, and I'm going to kind of lead us through a short sermon today. This is the one Sunday in the month when the children stay in, and you know, we have some fun together. Interestingly enough, let me just mention this. There's no face-to-face Sunday school, but there's online Sunday school still going on as well. Work that out. So, we're talking about building church, building community, building together. Who likes building? I've just had a week's holiday. I've been down in Cornwall. There's a sandy beach in Loo. It's just sand, 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 and sometimes seaweed. Do you know what? I am known, Julia would tell you this, I am known amongst my family and amongst some of our friends as well as the sandcastle builder. When I get to the beach, I get the spade out, and I get a big spade out. I don't mean a little plastic spade, I mean a proper spade. Because I'm not just building a little sandcastle, I'm building a big sandcastle. And when I say a big sandcastle, I mean this high. My objective is to build a pile of sand so when the tide comes in, the children who are with me, notice the children who are with me, it's not just for me, the children who are with me can stand on the sandcastle and they can see the sea come in and it can come in, it can slowly wash the pile of sand away until they get to that moment when the adults have to help them because it's now so deep around them that once the sandcastle collapses, they're going to get wet. And they go, Mummy, Daddy, Uncle Dave, please help. I love beaches. I love building. And I hope you love building too, because do you know what? We are building. God is building in our midst. There are faces in the room that I don't recognize. Hallelujah. I don't mean that I don't recognize you yet. I mean your new faces. Your new faces, and there's new people joining us online. I can see people joining us today from Turkey, from Italy, and from Sweden were some countries that I noticed this morning. So I'm just amazed what God is doing in our midst as we gather. And Debbie very rightly commented, you know, I don't know what to call it. All nation, all age, all nation, we're multinational. Well, isn't that a business? But we are multinational. I was saying to somebody the other day, I said, you know what, I think we're probably about 22, 23 different nationalities if you add up all our different groups. And they said, wow, how big a church are you? I said, well, not that big yet. Yet, notice I say yet. And so, let me journey into building community and building church. In Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, it says this, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all those afar off, as many as our Lord God will call. You know, when we get our eyes off stuff and on God and his son Jesus, our perspective changes. Do you know, perspective often changes. If I hold my hand up in front of my face, I can't see you because my hand's in the way. And I have to step back. I have to move back so that I get a different perspective. I traveled into London a number of years ago now. And sitting in Waterloo Station was a gentleman who had a piece of cardboard in front of me. He said, please give. I need food. Do you know what? I thought I could have put some money in his pot. But the first thing, I had time. I had a nice pair of trousers on, a nice shirt like I have today, but I had time. I got there early. Oh, you think my nice shirt, is this not a nice shirt today? Oh, okay, sorry. But I decided to stop. And I decided to stop and sit down next to him. And I sat down next to him on the bridge near Waterloo Station. I sat down next to him and I started talking to him. Not looking him in the face, just chatting to him. He said, why are you sitting down next to me? I said, well, just thought I'd join you for a few minutes if that's okay. Is that all right? And he said, yes, please do. I said, what's it like down here? He said, well, people don't acknowledge you. They don't look at you. They just walk past. And I realized as I sat with him, all I could see was knees. Because as people walked past on the bridge, even when I looked up, people didn't look at me. They probably thought, why is this guy in a pair of shirts and a pair of trousers and a shirt? Why is he sitting on the floor? Why is he asking for money? But you know what? Everybody just walked past, just didn't even acknowledge. And I thought, how challenging is that? How challenging is that, that every person walking past just ignored? And even the people who put some money in the hat and on the guitar bag that he had there, even those who put money in didn't look at him. I just thought, I struggle here. And Jesus loves all of us. Not just those who are good, because we all get things wrong. I'm going to put my hand up and say I get things wrong from time to time. Do you get things wrong from time to time? Do things that aren't so good? There are certain things that I've probably done in the last month that I would not want on the screen in front of you right now. Maybe I got angry with somebody. Maybe I got cross. Maybe I said something I shouldn't have said. But you know, we all do things wrong. And when we do things wrong, it gets in the way in our relationships. Just think about if you said something to somebody and it didn't quite come out right. And in saying it, you think you kind of want to put the words back in again. You know, those bubbles in comics, yeah, you almost want to take the bubble and squeeze it back in again. We can't. That's right. Quite right. We're not perfect. And that's none of us. None of us are perfect. That's why we need God's help. We need God's help when we get it wrong to say, I'm sorry. And he made a way. He made a way for our wrongdoing. His son Jesus, we've just celebrated at Easter. His son Jesus went to the cross and died to pay the price for you and me so that for the wrongdoing that we have, there is a solution. It's not about me being good or you being good. It's about Christ, God's son, being good. And we read here in Acts, for the promises for you and your children. You know, having Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian child. Everybody needs to come to a place. Yeah, brought up in a Christian home, don't get me wrong. Brought up in a good way, absolutely. But we need to get to a place where we choose for ourselves Jesus as Saviour. But there is a promise. There is a promise. We read on in Acts chapter 2, in verses 41 and 42. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, there were about 3,000 souls added to the church. And they continued in steadfastness in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and of prayers. Now, prayers matter. I think prayer is something we should all get good at. I don't mean we get a PhD or an A-level or a GCSE in prayer, but we're just ready to pray. It was great to see the children start the service off. They were willing to make a few mistakes. Well done, guys. You know, we don't like making mistakes, especially in the world of online. You know, because it's recorded forever. You know, we had some technical challenges this morning. I think we've still got some technical challenges going on. That's going to get recorded forever. Okay, but I want to show that we're real. I want to show that we're not perfect. We don't get it quite right. Because for me, as soon as we model perfection, then we start to do things like people say, well, I can't do that. I can't do that that well. And we continue in steadfast prayer and the breaking of bread. Communion is an important part of journeying together, building together. That's why we take communion on a regular basis. Reading further on in Acts chapter 2, and then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I don't think this was a fear. This wasn't a fear of God. This was, there's something going on here. You imagine 3,000 people turning up at church next Sunday. Just imagine it, because this is what I'm talking about. 3,000 people. We'd have to take the speakers that we'd got and the band, and we'd have to go out to the car park. That'd be lovely, lovely sunshine. And the car park's empty because they're charging for it now. So we've got lots of space. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe God's emptied the car park so that we can move in and take over. I don't know. We need to listen to God. You know, this building is just where we're at the moment. You know, and you may notice, for those who are regulars, we keep on putting out more and more and more chairs every Sunday. You know, and we have elastic walls because we do this online. So, you know, that we are not limited by the number of chairs in the room. Amen. I'd just like you to imagine if we said, actually, you can only come to church once a month now, and here's the ticket for you to come to church. Otherwise, join us online. Just imagine that. Just imagine that. Because, you know, if you go to something you really want to go to, you book weeks or months ahead. If you think of a concert that you'd love to go to. Think of a concert you'd love to go to. Think of, you'd book the ticket years ahead if you had to, because you really want to go. You know what? I sense that God is moving in our midst. He's going to answer prayer. He's going to move by his Holy Spirit, as Debbie declared. There will be healing. So if somebody's sick today, we're going to give some space for praying for those people who are sick. We're going to believe that God's going to do something amazing, incredible. Scripture says God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. How big is your imagination? Is it this big? Is it this big? Is it this big? Immeasurably more. That means more than we can measure. Now, I'm pretty good at measuring in feet and inches. I'm old school. But meters would do as well. know, so I could measure 3 meters by 5 meters. I could measure that reasonably accurately. But God says he's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. 3,000 were added on that day. So what should we do as we build in community? In 1 Peter 2, verse 17, it says this, treat everyone you meet with dignity, love, in your spiritual family. Revere God and respect the government. Now, I find it fascinating. You may not, I'm not going to get into a political perspective here, but you know what? There are over half the world in 2024 will go through an election. Over half the world's population will see a new or maybe a repeat of a minister. That's a lot of people concerned about their government. And I think so many people, I don't like the government. I'm not talking about politics here. I'm just talking about we don't like what we've currently got. And so we want a change. And I'm not trying to get political here. I'm just saying, actually, Scripture says, respect those who govern you. They set some of the rules. Now, we might not like the rules, but that's our opportunity. You know, and I will get on my hobby horse a little bit here. When I've talked to some students that I've studied with and taught, and it's been around election time, I've often said, okay, are you voting? And they said to me, oh, no, I don't see the point in voting. I said, it's the one thing you do have that gives you the power to make a difference. And I said, to be honest, if you're not willing to vote, then I'm not willing to listen to your political opinion. Because it's the one thing that you've got that you can do something with. Now, we might feel powerless. It might be in a majority. I don't know those kind of things. But the point I'm making is the one thing I could do. And do you know what? When we don't do the one thing that we can do, then we become disempowered. Prayer. Every one of us can pray. We don't need a PhD in praying. We can just pray, God help me. That's a prayer. Didn't take a lot of thinking about. Wasn't difficult, wasn't challenging. But God can then move because he's heard a man or woman of faith say, God, do something. So I encourage you, pray for our government. Pray for the governments around the world. They will change. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. I was in a shop earlier on this week, busy place down in Cornwall. I held open the door to the shop because there was a few people behind me. The first person walked through. Didn't even look at me. Next person walked through. I think it was about 4 or 5, maybe 6 people who walked through. No one even acknowledged me. No one said, thank you for holding the door open. So as I walked through the door after the 6 people, I went, thank you. Yeah, and what, do you know what I was doing? Because a few people in front of me looked around. Oh, sorry. Do you know what? You matter. Yeah, and all the time we ignore one another, we're basically saying, you don't matter. Do you know, we live in a world now where looking people in the face is becoming more and more rare. Gen Z, and I'm not picking on Gen Z, but as an example, I've seen some statistics, like they don't want to pick up the phone. They don't want to pick up the phone. They'd rather send you a text message or a Snapchat or an Instagram. As to talking face to face, and I saw this in a restaurant about 3 weeks ago. There were a group of young people, young adults, sitting around the table. They were having a meal together and they were all on their mobile phones. And then they roared with laughter. And I heard them talking and then they said, oh yeah, and they just shared something amongst them people around the table. I just thought, you could talk. I know it sounds revolutionary and I know it sounds radical, but you could talk. You know, love your spiritual family. This is church. This is church. I don't know some of you as well as I should do, and that's down to me. But it's also down to you. We can have a coffee. We can talk. Any one of us can meet and have a coffee. And I know there's some that I've tried to have a coffee with for weeks and we haven't managed to do it yet, but it will happen. It will happen. treat everyone with dignity. We're going to have food together after church. And, you know, it's a potluck lunch. The second Sunday of the month, we have a potluck lunch. I can't tell you what's going to be served because I don't know. It's a surprise. It might be chili with cheesecake. I just love the diversity that gathers around a meal when we celebrate together. So when we eat together, the first people to eat will be the guests. To be honest, in my family, when I was younger, we had a principle which was FHB. Anybody know what FHB stands for? Family holds back. Yeah. Often you have more people around the table than you cooked for. Family holds back. Guests first. And some of you know, I used to teach in Papua New Guinea, and because I was the only white man in some of the villages, I'd often walk into a village and there'd be a whole group of people that would gather around me. I'll tell you a bit of a personal story now. I hope it won't spoil your lunch. But in this particular village, so I was a teacher in a secondary school there, and in the school holidays, I used to travel on medical trips. We'd go somewhere, the boat would land, we'd then walk inland, we'd walk to a village, we'd gather for the evening, and then the next morning there would be a medical clinic. And my job was to weigh babies. I have weighed thousands of babies in my life, or in two particular years. But anyway, in this particular village, they built a dam up in the mountains, and they put a pipe in from the dam to the centre of the village. There was a tap in the middle of the village. There was no mains water. You know, and this was revolutionary for the village. They had fresh water whenever they needed it. Now, I don't know what you think about, but, you know, bucket showers are amazing. Anybody who's ever had a bucket shower, I did not realise that a bucket of water was enough to have a full shower under. But in this particular village, no place to hang a bucket. They had a tap and a shower head over the tap. And they had a bamboo curtain that went around the tap. And so anybody who wanted a shower used to stand in the middle of the village, pull the bamboo curtain around them, have their shower, and then go away. Now, there I was in the middle of the village with the bamboo curtain around, having a shower. And I suddenly noticed there were some faces underneath the bamboo curtain looking at me. And now I was a bit, ooh! Anyway, they then ran away. They were children, and they ran away. I didn't kind of say, what were you doing? I just said to some of the parents, I said, what was going on there? And they said, well, because they'd never seen a white man before, they wanted to know whether you were white all over. So treat everyone with respect. Treat everybody. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says this, and indeed you do so towards the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. There's an encouragement in Paul's letter here to say, increase. And I don't think that's about round the waistline. I think that's about increasing our capacity to love one another, our increasing our capacity to share with one another, increasing our flexibility to be responsive. We live in a world where our lives are run by diaries. We can often find that, imagine this, I know this might press some buttons for one or two people. Imagine you say, let's get together for a coffee. What's the first thing you do? You get your phone or your diary out and you go, let's find a day when we can all make it. And two or three of you, okay, 3 weeks' time, Thursday, 9 o'clock, okay, coffee. What about now? How about a coffee now? It may not be for a long period of time, but we could do 20 minutes now. I think, you know, there's just a great opportunity to be spontaneous and grab the little moments that you have. I need to pray with someone. I might say, okay, let's make an appointment. Or I could say, let's pray now. I've got 2 minutes now. I can pray for 2 minutes. God doesn't need a 30-minute prayer. 2-minute prayer will be perfectly enough. And Paul goes on in his letter to the Ephesians to say this, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. I think it's probably a couple of decades ago now, so it shows you, when there was still a teacher training college in Englefield Green, which was part of one of the other universities, not Royal Holloway. It's all been turned into flats and houses now. But one of the students who joined us there was from Ghana. And he came and he spent a year with us whilst he was studying. And when we came to the end of his year here in Egham, we had a summer barbecue, not just for him, but we had a summer barbecue and we were saying farewell. And he quoted us this scripture. He quoted us this scripture and he said, you know, I felt like a foreigner and a stranger, but you made me welcome. You welcomed me in. And I hope, church, that you feel welcome today. I hope those listening online, even if we had technical problems with sound, you're able to feel welcome today. Because we are members of the household of God. And as members of the household of God, let's reach out to someone. Now, I'm going to ask to do something a bit un-British now. With permission, so turn to someone you don't know near you and just say, is it okay if I touch you? And I'm not going to ask you to touch people in inappropriate places, but please, maybe you want to put your hand on their shoulder. Maybe you want to shake hands. Just turn to someone right now, those at home, just say hello or say a greeting to... Okay, now, my experiment, so there's a lot of touching that's going on.
Yes.
You know, I believe touch has disappeared from our world because of COVID. You know, you still see people wearing masks, you still see people using sanitizer, but do you know what? You know, if that's what you need to do, that's fine. Absolutely no problem. I went to a church during COVID. Not this church, by the way. I went to this church, and as I walked in, I hadn't been there for a long time. I hadn't not been there before. And as I walked in, I was greeted with, what kind of badge would you like, sir? I said, do I need to wear a badge? He said, well, you're either a yes, you can hug, or no, I don't want hugging, or please ask. Those were the three badges. They were three different colours. And do you know what? I thought, why do I need a badge to say whether I want a hug or not? All I need to do is look at you and say, would you like a hug? Or would you like to shake hands? I asked Hope and Joel to take some of the Lego that I brought to church, because Lego's a great example of building. And I said, build me something. These are the two things they built me. Hope built me this. Now, you might think it's just a little tower, but she said, I thought of Jesus, and I thought of communion. She said, and I thought of water into wine. And she said, when I saw the clear plastic, I thought water. And then I thought Jesus turned water into wine. So she said, I made this little tower as a memorial to Jesus turns water into wine. And then Joel built me, and Joel built me this. And my first response was, is it a car? He said, no, Dave, it's a seat for Jesus. I said, you mean a throne? And he said, yes. I said, do you know what? That's biblical. The Bible says, as we worship, we build a throne. And a little child in our midst builds a throne. He said, and even there are things that we bring as an offering. Now, I hope I won't break this too much, Joel. But he said, yeah, he went on to say, do you know there are? Yeah. There you go.
That's this place where this is a robot that brings Jesus food. And then when this goes, this also comes for it to stand. This also comes for it to stand. And then if Jesus needs any help, this comes. And then it guards Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Can I see the other piece?
What? Yeah, great stuff. You know, what do TV hosts say? Don't do anything with animals and children in front of camera. Okay, so what have I shared today? You know, God is building something in our midst. The glue that's joining us together is coming out of relationship. God is joining us together by his Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to pray that God does immeasurably more than you ask or imagine. Oh, do you know what? Taking Lego away. So I'd like you to let's just close our eyes. Those listening at home, those listening later, those in the room. Just like us to close our eyes. And I want to make this really, really, really personal. First thing I want to do is this. I want to say, if you have a need right now, I'm not talking about you'd like a new suit or a. I'm talking about a need. God knows our needs from our wants. Maybe there's some bit of you that's not working quite right and you need a healing touch. Maybe there's a situation where things have got stuck and blocked. Something needs to get unlocked. Maybe you need a breakthrough in a certain area. There seems to be a mountain or a wall in front of you. I'm not going to ask you anything about any of those things because God knows your situation. But I am going to ask you to take a step of faith. And that step of faith will be this simple. If you have a need that's specific for you right now, would you just stand where you are? God is able to do multinational. God is able to do multi-people. God is able to do multi-healing. God is able to do multi-miracles. And just because you've got a different situation to somebody else in a different row, God's still able to deal with this stuff. So if there's something that you're bringing before God, if we had an altar built at the front here and you said, I'm coming with this question, I'm coming with this request, then I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. I'm not going to ask you anything about it. God knows about that stuff. But we're going to pray. There's quite a few people standing in the room. And for those who are back home as well, or those who are watching online, if you need to, please stand. I know it sounds crazy. Maybe you're in a room on your own. No one else is going to see you, but God sees. God sees that you're making a step. You're saying, Lord, help me. You're reaching out in this moment and saying, God, help me. Do you know, I just sense the presence of God right now, even as I'm talking, even as I'm asking, even as I'm declaring, God is that close. He's that close. Some people, you just need to kind of gently, nobody else needs to even notice. Put your hand out. And sense the Father's hand, sense Christ's grip of your hand. As the song says, put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. He's a miracle working God. We're going to pray right now. And so God, we come before you as your people in this place, your church, in this moment. And we're asking for now. We're asking for healing, Lord God. Father, would you bring liberty to the joints that are stuck? Lord, would you bring a cleansing to the liver that's not working? Father, would you readjust the heartbeat, Lord God? Would you bring balance and rhythm and synchronicity to the heart, Lord God, that is not beating quite right? Father, I pray for strengthened muscle in those joints that are starting to move. Father, I pray for increased heart muscle, increased heart capability. Father, I too pray for a readjustment and a realignment of minds. Father, would you release blockages in the mind, wrong mindsets, Lord God. Father, would you release fresh thinking to those minds that need a fresh touch? Scripture says, by the renewing of our minds, be transformed. And I'm praying for transformation today, O God. And I'm also praying, Lord, for paperwork. I see one or two bits of paper that are sat on a dusty desk. They've sat on a dusty desk for weeks, maybe even months. paperwork. Some things got stuck in a process, and I just sense the Father brings a nudge. The papers get resorted, and suddenly the paper that was at the bottom that hasn't been seen for weeks and months is now on top, ready to be processed. Father, I pray for release. I pray for release today in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask, Lord, it's not just me praying, Lord. I'm praying together with the church. Lord, we're coming to you with our needs, and we're asking you to do miraculous things. And Father, I pray that you confirm it, you release it as we worship with you. Church, I'm going to ask you to sit down again now. I'm going to pray for one more thing. We prayed for ourselves, and it's okay. Some people kind of say, I can't be selfish. Do you know, if we're not in a good place, then we struggle to be in a good place to share with others. If our minds and our heads are full of struggle, then how can we share our faith? So I'm going to move our focus now off us onto somebody else. Some of us have got dear friends. Some of us have got family members who need a breakthrough right now. And I'm going to ask you to stand again. If you're standing in the gap, that's intercession. If you're standing in the gap for a breakthrough, if you're standing in the gap for someone else, would you stand again? You say, Dave, you're making me exercise day. Yes, I am. But I'm asking you to do it in faith. So stand again if you need. If you want to stand for someone, you know who it is. God knows who it is. And we're going to pray for a breakthrough in those situations. We're going to pray for a healing in those situations. And so, Father God, as we stand again, we stand and believe for a completed work. We stand and believe for health and wholeness. Lord, we stand and believe for things that did not work that now work again. Father, I pray you jumpstart some things that have got stuck. The doctors were talking about bringing medicine and jumpstarting something, but Father, I pray you miraculously jumpstart some biological processes in beings and bodies that we're standing for today. Father, I pray for the new job that someone's just applied for. I pray for that provision. I pray that that would bring the funds that that person is looking for. You've looked at your empty purse week after week for a few months now, and this is your friend, not you, but you've looked at that empty, they've looked at that empty purse, and they've applied and they're believing. And God, I pray, the Lord, you'd open doors. You'd anoint interviews. And there'd be a breakthrough, we pray in Jesus' name. Finally, I pray for those who are far from God. Those that we've been crying out to. We've been crying out to. We've been crying out for. That they would come to know the Jesus that we know. Father, I pray that you'd whisper in their ear. You'd give us an opportunity to testify. Lord, you'd cause them to turn from their walk and walk a new way, following Jesus. And so, Father, we bring all these prayers to you and we say, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we, as we've forgiven those who sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please do take your seats. We're going to come back to a time of worship.
That we're going to hear things that have changed. We're going to see, we're going to hear testimonies in the following days, weeks, maybe. So if God does something that we've prayed for.
For what we